Let's open our Bibles again to Psalm 42. I want to preach tonight right where we live. I've titled the message, Spiritual Depression. Every believer goes through these times of spiritual depression. Song of Solomon chapter 2 described it as a time of spiritual winter, when everything looks dead. It's not, but everything looks dead. Every child of God goes through those times when everything looks dead. It feels dead. Now, it's not, but it looks that way. It feels that way. There are times, try as you might, you cannot get a sense of the Lord's presence. You can't get a sense of His fellowship. You can't get a sense of His forgiveness. You can only feel judgment from Him. There are times you come to the worship service. You go through the motions of reading the Word of God, and that's all it is. It's just motions. There's no heart refreshing there. There are times when prayer is just a bunch of religious words. I'm being honest. That's just the way it is sometimes. It's not heart prayer, not heart talk to our Heavenly Father. It's a time of winter. Now, spring's going to come eventually. But that winter's tough to bear. I want us to deal honestly with each other tonight. We live in a real world where there is real salvation. There's real joy, there's real happiness, there's real peace. But we also live in a real world that's full of real sorrow, real trouble, and dark times. Believers experience both of those extremes. Now, I've been taught. I know how I should be. I know how I should be. But I also know how I am and how I do feel. And when those two things don't agree, when how I know I should be and how I am, how I should feel and how I do feel, when they're not equal, that's when I find these times of spiritual depression. And I have no idea why these times come upon us. David didn't either. Writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why is this going on?" He didn't know. And I don't either. But it's real. William Cowper suffered with severe depression his entire life. William Cowper wrote my favorite hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood." That dying thief. "There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." So confident. And yet Cowper also wrote, "Where's the blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord?" Cowper was so confident when he wrote, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy, and they shall break with blessings upon your head." And at other times, the depression was so bad the man was suicidal. All he could see was the clouds, and he couldn't see that they were about to break with blessings upon his head. And John Newton was Cowper's pastor and good friend. Newton was known to be a positive, upbeat man. He confidently wrote, "Amazing Grace, which saved a wretch like me through many dangers, toils, and snares. I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead me home." So confident. He wrote, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. That name, it soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear." And the very same man wrote this, "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child?" Very miserable, depression. And that's what David's going through in this psalm. He says in verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David compares himself to a deer that's been running from predators. It's been running a long time, and there's no water in sight. The deer's so tired, it cannot go on. It needs rest, it needs water. You can hear the dogs barking. They're close. And you feel like it's just the very last minute. but there's no place to rest, no time to rest, no place to find any water for your soul. And that's what David's going through spiritually. He'd been running from his enemies a long time. And I'm confident he's not just talking about Saul and Absalom here. He's talking about running from his own sin. Running from the judgment for that sin that's chasing close behind me. Hear the dogs barking behind him. And all he could think about was his sin. He couldn't see anything else. And he was so thirsty. He was thirsty for the Lord. Thirsty for the Lord's presence. Thirsty for his forgiveness. He's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. David did not want to just go through the motions of religion. He craved the Lord's presence. At this time, David felt like he'd been banished from the Lord's presence. And he wondered, am I ever going to be able to come back? Am I ever going to appear before the Lord again? This psalm was written, we believe, when David was on the run from Absalom. David couldn't go back to Jerusalem. Absalom would kill him. He couldn't go back to the temple. He couldn't go to the place of public worship. And David was depressed. He wasn't being fed. He wasn't being encouraged. He wasn't being reminded of the character of the Lord. He wasn't being reminded of the Lord's mercy and grace. He wasn't being reminded of the Lord's patience and long-suffering and love for his people. And it's just a place of pure torture. You've been there. You know what he's talking about. When you know this. Now, there's things I know, and there's some things I feel. I know the Lord is there. I know that. I've known that the Lord's everywhere from the time I can understand language. But I can't get a sense of his presence. I can't feel his love. I can't feel his tenderness. And it's painful. David says it's so painful. Verse 10, he says, as with the sword of my bones. It feels like a sword is being going clear through my bones. My enemies reproach me. While they say daily unto me, David, where's your God? Where's your God now, David? Painful. Verse 3, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David said, I'm so sad. I don't know why, but I am so sad. I just cry day and night. And they asked me, David, where's your God now? How come your God's not helping you now, David? David, you're so sad. Where's your faith, David? Where's your peace and assurance in the Lord now? David looks at me like the Lord's abandoned you. And just look at you. Why wouldn't he? Depressed. Now this day, David speaks up here. It could be other people. But I tell you who I think it is. This day is the voices in our own head. It's what the flesh whispers to us. Where's the Lord now? Why is the Lord helping you now? Well, he must not be helping you because you're so sinful. He's giving you what you deserve. Well, you're so sad. What? Where's your faith? If you had any faith in the Lord, you wouldn't be so sad. You wouldn't get so depressed if you had any real faith in the Lord. You can't get away from that voice, can you? And it's torture. It's no wonder you're depressed. Now, David said, I'm spiritually depressed right now. But he said, I'm telling you what, I hadn't always been that way. I remember times of enjoying the worship of the Lord with the Lord's people. I remember times past when I had a joy of the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse 4. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. David said, I remember those times of worship. You think of David, and we remember times of wonderful worship, where the Lord just so blessed our heart. David remembered the day he wrote Psalm 23 under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he had the Holy Spirit so much, he wrote the 23rd Psalm. David remembered that day. He brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He was so happy. He danced with all of his might before the Lord. Now he can't find any of that joy. He remembered those things happened, but he can't find that joy in his heart. We remember those times when the Lord blessed His Word so mightily to us. We remember times going back through those well-marked pages, oftentimes in the Psalms, aren't they? Oftentimes you go back to your favorite Psalm and you read that and the Lord just opens it to your understanding, blesses your heart so much. But then there are times that worship seems like a distant memory. I can't seem to be able to worship. I'm depressed. I open up God's Word and I read the Scriptures, but I may as well be reading the phone book. Not getting anything out of it. I'm depressed. And I don't know why. David says, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Why are you so discouraged? I don't know, but I am. He says, verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Now, I believe this land of Jordan, and the Hermonites and the hill Mizar, I think those are all places that in time past David had special worship in those places. But they're just memories to him now. He can't find that worship. It's that hill Mizar is just a hill now. It's not a place he can go worship. There's nothing there for him. And here's the thing about worship. Worship only does us good in the present. Yesterday's worship is like yesterday's manna. It's going to bring worms. I need worship today. I need a new supply today. And that's why David's so depressed. He's not getting a new supply today. Now, he still knows some doctrinal truths. David hadn't lost his Calvinism. He knows some doctrinal truths. He doesn't think that those things aren't true anymore. He knows that they're true. But he doesn't feel them in his heart. At the end of verse 5, he says, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And that phrase, for the help of his countenance, literally translated, is his presence is salvation. Now I know the Lord is salvation. Christ is salvation. I know salvation is not a thing. Salvation is not a state before God. Salvation is a person. I know that. I know the presence of the Lord is salvation. If I'm in his presence, I'm saved. I know that so. Don't doubt it for a minute. But I can't seem to feel his presence in my heart. Verse 7, he says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. David says, the trial's gotten so bad, it feels like I'm being crushed from both ends. Deep calleth to deep. It means that the waters from below, the waters of the sea, they're rising up and meeting the deep waters from the heavens. The water spouts of the deep have just opened up, and the water underneath me has thrown me up in a storm. And at the same time, the heavens have opened up, and water is just pouring down on me from heaven. And I feel I'm just being crushed. I feel like I'm in a dinghy in the middle of the ocean in a hurricane. And you can understand feeling like that in times of trial, when we feel like both God and men are crushing. David felt that exact same way at the time he was writing this psalm, when he was on the run from Absalom. His own son was trying to kill him. He already took the throne from him by subtlety. He was trying to kill his own father. And David already knew why that was happening. David didn't ask why that's happening. He knew why. The Lord told him because of his dealings with Uriah and Bathsheba, the sword will never depart from his house. David understood why that was happening. He was being tried by the Lord. But at the same time, men were crushing him too. While David's on the run from Absalom, Shimei came out and cursed him. Just boldly cursed the king to his face. Abishai would go off there and take his head off. And David stopped him and said, let him go. Let him go. The Lord has told him to curse David. He is calling unto thee. But just because David told him to let him go don't mean he didn't hurt. He's being crushed by this. Verse 9, he says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I could understand men forsaking me. I could even understand Absalom trying to take my throne. But I cannot understand God forsaking me. He's my rock. If God's forsaken me, I've got no hope. If God's forgotten me, there's only one reason for that. It's because he never knew me. I'm depressed. That's good reason to be depressed. My soul's got no hope. All right. Now we're going to start to get some help for the spiritual depression. I bet you can identify, at least in some degree, with this. David says, why have you forgotten me? You know, Christ our Savior said the exact same thing from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know the answer to that question. Right off, we know the answer to that question. Well, that was for the glory of God. That was the Father glorifying His attributes, His justice, His holiness. That was for the salvation of His people, so His people would never be forsaken. We know the answer. We got that doctrine down, don't we? We know the answer to that one. But we feel like the same way. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? It's the exact same answer. It's for our eternal good and for God's glory. Let me show you that. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Good for me? Yes. That I might learn thy statutes. Look up verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Well, how is it that we keep God's word? Well, we keep God's word by doing what it says. What's the message of the word of God? Trust Christ alone. Just rest on Him. Rely upon Him. And that's what trials teach us over and over and over again. To rely upon the Lord. To trust Him. In our psalm this evening, David has showed us spiritual depression. Every believer experiences it. But now he's also going to give us the solution to spiritual depression. Have you noticed through both sides, all through this psalm, David, both sides of David are speaking, aren't they? His faith argues with his doubts. His love speaks to his fears. His hope argues with his sorrows. And there's just this struggle going on, this spiritual depression. I think it's very important to point this out. I told you I want to preach to us right where we live. I want us to be very, very honest with each other now. Spiritual depression is one thing. If you've got a clinical depression, you've got a chemical imbalance, you seek professional help. Now, you seek help. Now, I know there are quacks out there who over-medicate and do things. It irritates me to death. You know, a child, all it needs is a spank, and then his parents take it and get it medicated. You know, I understand that happens. But there's a lot of good ones out there, too. I was just recently talking to a woman who had been very depressed. She was really suffering. And she refused to go seek any medical help. And it finally got so bad she did. And she was honest with her doctor. She told the doctor, I'm ashamed. I'm just ashamed to be here. Where's my faith? You know, I go to the worship service, I read the Bible, and it's not stopping this depression. Yes, I'm ashamed to be here. And the doctor said, now, just wait a minute. You know, you might need some medical help, but don't you stop reading your Bible. Don't you stop going to church. That's good for you. You need that. But you might need some medicine, some other treatment too. But this thing is a medical problem. It's not a problem of faith. And I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't know how long it lasted. It seemed like it lasted a long, long time. But after I had surgery, I don't know, was the medicine? I still don't. I'm like David. I don't know why. I went through that. Just horrible, horrible depression. I just, it's awful. I mean, I couldn't see. There was any light. It was horrible, horrible. Faith is not the solution to a mental illness. I just want to take pressure off people. It's not a matter of faith. Any more than faith is a solution to physical illness. Lord, I needed that back surgery. There was only one way that I could get any relief from pain at all. And it was to lay flat on the floor. Couldn't even lay on a mattress. Had to lay on the floor. And there I'd lay. And Janet would sit next to me. She'd open up the Bible. She'd read the scriptures to me. And it helped. Oh, it comforted my heart and my soul. They didn't take my back pain away. I still had to have surgery. See, it was a physical illness that needed medical treatment. Well, mental illness is the same way. But David here gives us five help for spiritual depression. And they'll help any. If you've got a clinical depression, you need medical help. This will help you with that too. Hand in hand will go together. But these are five helps for spiritual depression. I believe this will be a blessing to us. Number one, in a time of spiritual depression, keep seeking the Lord. Now, don't stop seeking Him. David said, I'm seeking Him as the heart panteth after the water brooks. That's how my soul is panting after Thee. I'm thirsting for the living God. I'm doing everything I can to find when I can come and appear before God again. Well, that's good. Now keep seeking Him. Keep seeking Him and keep seeking Him and keep seeking Him. I promise you this, based upon the authority of God's Word, you will find Him eventually. You will. Really what will happen is He'll find you. Just like He found you the first time. Remember you, that lost sheep out there in the wilderness? You weren't looking for the Lord, were you? But you found Him. You found Him and He found you. You keep seeking Him. You'll find Him. And we have to constantly learn this. There are times the Lord hides His face from us for a short time so that we remember, oh yeah, I am totally dependent upon the Lord. And that never changes. He's constantly teaching us that. And that's a good place to be. If you are totally dependent upon the Lord, you see, I've got no other hope, no other recourse, no other way to go. That's good because He's faithful. You keep seeking Him. He's faithful. You'll find Him. That's an awful good reason to seek the Lord, isn't it? He's faithful. And He's proven His faithfulness time and time and time again. You just keep searching for Him. Searching for Christ, the spiritual water, and don't ever accept a substitute. When you are truly thirsty, there's no replacement for water. None. I read last year, about a half marathon run. Of course, it's run in the state of Kentucky. And they give you bourbon at the finish line. That's just awful. I want water. I need water. There's no substitute for water. But there is no replacement for the presence of the Lord when you're thirsty. Then keep seeking Him. Seek the Lord's presence where He's found. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in His Gospel. Seek Him where His people meet together. Those are the places He promised to be. Look over at Luke chapter 9. Seek Him. And seek Him as someone who's in need. As a needy, thirsty sinner. That's how we seek the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, where they knew where the Lord was, they followed Him. And He received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. That had need of healing. All of them. He didn't leave one out. Seek the Lord as a needy sinner. He'll heal all that need. He'll give water to all that need Him. Seek the Lord as a thirsty sinner, because He commanded everyone who's thirsty to come unto Him and drink. Then just tell Him, Lord, I'm coming to You and I'm depending on You to give me the water of life freely, just like You promised. You seek Him based upon the authority of His Word, on what He said. You'll find Him. He'll bless you. All right, number two, in times of spiritual depression, take some time to remember things. Verse 4, David says, I remember these things. When I remember them, I pour out my soul in me. I remember when I'd gone with the multitude. When I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. I remember that time I was with the multitude that kept the holy day. Take some time to remember some things. And here's a good place to start. At the start. Just go back to the beginning. And remember the ABCs of the gospel that the Lord taught you when He first saved you. Yeah, that's what Jacob did. Remember when Jacob was on the run? Jacob's always on the run for somebody, wasn't he? And there he was at Bethel one night, and the Lord revealed Himself to Jacob. And all throughout Jacob's life, everything was going on, every once in a while, Jacob would tell the whole family, stop. Load up the donkeys. We're going back to Bethel. We're going back to Bethel. Go back to that place that God first revealed himself to. Go back to those foundational truths, those foundations of your faith. Just take time to remember. You think it's bad now? Remember where you were when God found you? Look where he's brought you. Remember those things. Remember this. This will help you in times of spiritual depression. Remember, salvation is by God's grace. It's not because I deserve it, because I don't. No, it's because of God's grace. It's because of God's faithfulness. Not my faithfulness, his faithfulness. None of this is dependent on me anyway. And remember all of God's tender mercies. God's mercy is a fountain that never runs dry. He's rich in mercy. That's a pretty good thing to remember when you need mercy. Remember all of God's precious promises. Just go pick out any of them, the precious promises of God, and then remember, he's faithful. He is faithful to promise. He's going to keep his word. And then, while you're remembering, you could ask the Lord, Lord, remember me. That's what David's saying here. Lord, don't forget me. Remember me. Take some time to remember these things that you know are true. Right? Thirdly, in time of spiritual depression, hope in God. Don't hope in yourself. Don't hope in circumstances. Hope in God. Verse 5, David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I'm disquieted. I'm disquieted. But I'm going to hope in the Lord anyway. You know, the best reason to hope in the Lord is there's no place else to hope. We don't have any other hope. I'm a mess. But my hope's in God, not in me. I can't see God right now. But he sees me. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what God's doing. Why is I don't understand. But God does. I can remember things being better in the past, and I've sure changed a lot. But God hasn't. God never changes. My hope is in him. See, salvation is not a feeling. My salvation is Christ. Whether I feel it or not. You know, if you lose the sense of something, that doesn't mean it's not there. I got a good illustration for this. Janet's mom lost her sense of smell in a pregnancy. It was a pregnancy, wasn't it? She lost her sense of smell. And she never got back. And all these years later, Ethel is thrilled if she gets just a whiff of something. It can be a dirty diaper. And Ethel's thrilled because she lost her sense of smell. Now, here she's, you know, she lost her sense of smell in this pregnancy. Well, there are a lot of dirty diapers. There was a lot of cooking, a lot of biscuits and gravy and, you know, bacon and all those things. All those aromas are there. She just can't smell them. But that don't mean they're not there. See, if you lose a sense of something, it doesn't mean it's not there. We do, from time to time, lose a sense of God's presence. And I don't know if there's anything worse, is there? But you take courage. He's still there. He is still there. And he's not far from you. Because he promised, I will never leave or forsake my people. He's still there. We can't get sometimes a sense of God's mercy and his grace. But he hadn't quit having it. He hadn't quit showing it. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's people will be tried, but they'll never, ever be consumed. And they'll never be forsaken. So you keep hoping in God because of who he is. That's a good ground of hope. And here's the fourth thing. In times of spiritual depression, take time to praise the Lord. At the end of verse 5, David says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He says the same thing, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'm disquieted, but I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. You know, praising the Lord always does the soul good. Always. Praise God for who He is. Just for who He is. Praise Him for His salvation. Remember up there in verse 5, for the help of His countenance? Praise Him for His salvation. His presence is salvation. Praise Him for saving sinners that nobody else would ever save. Praise Him for that. Praise Him for what He's done. What He is doing. What He promised He will yet do for His people. Praise God for all of His attributes. For His goodness. I'm no good, but He is. Praise Him for His faithfulness. I'm not faithful, but He is. Praise Him for His forgiving nature. Praise Him for His wisdom. You know, this thing has made me sad. Made my tears day and night. But He hadn't made a mistake. He's too wise to make a mistake. Just take time to praise the Lord. It'll lift our souls from the depths of where we are to the heights of who He is. Praising the Lord for everything that He's done for my soul takes my thoughts away from what I think I don't have. And it reminds me of everything that I have in Christ. Praising the Lord will get my focus back where it ought to be. It'll get my mind focusing on His glory, not the darkness of my sin and myself and my world. And David gives us an example here. Praise the Lord for His sovereign love that moved Him to save us in the first place. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. Our Savior is the sovereign. His will is always done. Jan and I watched this show about Queen Victoria, and I always find it interesting the way she refers to herself. I don't recall her ever referring to herself as the queen. She always says, I'm the sovereign. Now that better indicates her position in England. I'm the sovereign. Yes, our God's king. He's the sovereign. His will is always done. I mean, sometimes you might think you can take king off the throne. I mean, you can't take God off the throne because He's the sovereign. His will, He's the sovereign. His will is always done. He commands it, and it's so. Now, you know that. That you take courage in this. The sovereign has commanded the salvation of His people. And it shall be done. Almighty God has commanded the salvation of a sinner like me. He justified me in the blood of His Son. That I can't lose it. I might not get a sense of it right now, but it cannot be lost because the sovereign's commanded it. That salvation brings joy to the hearts of God's people in the darkest of days. That salvation is true. It's just as solid, it's just as sure in those dark days when we think we can't see it as in the day when it's so bright we think we can. It doesn't change. It's salvation the sovereign has commanded. And the sovereign has commanded His love to His people. He's commanded His loving kindness. Then who shall separate us from the love of God? Huh? Almighty God has commanded His love to a sinner like me. And He proved it when He sent His Son to die as a substitute for me. For somebody like me. Then why am I disquieted? Everything's all right. God's commanded His love to me. That word disquieted means to make a loud noise or a tumult. I kind of think of a child throwing a fit. Why am I making such a fuss and throwing a fit? Huh? When nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take time to praise the Lord for his loving kindness. And here's a good way. A good way to praise the Lord is by singing. David said, His song shall be with me. Just take the time to sing some choruses. Sing some of those hymns. This is real interesting. Look at the beginning of this psalm, right under the the Psalm 42, the title. It says, to the chief musician, whatever his name is, for the sons of Korah. For the sons of Korah. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You remember who Korah it was? Korah rebelled against God by murmuring against Moses. He said, well, any of us could be, you know, Moses. You know, I do better what Moses is doing. And Lord opened up the earth and he swallowed up Korah. He swallowed up all the men that followed him in that rebellion. He swallowed up all their families, all their belongings, swallowed them up. No trace of them left. Gone. But some of Korah's descendants must have survived, because this psalm is meant to be sung by the sons of Korah. Those sons, those descendants of Korah, why were they spared? Why didn't they swallow them up? There's only one reason. It's God's sovereign grace. The people who sing God's praises the best are people who've been saved by sovereign grace. They've been loved without a cause, and they sing out. They love to sing out the praises of our God. God did not give me what I deserve, because he gave Christ the substitute what I deserve. That's a good reason to sing, isn't it? That'll help us in our spiritual depression to praise the Lord. Here's the last one, number 5. In times of spiritual depression, be a man and woman of prayer. At the end of verse 8, David says, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now, we have no one to turn to but help in any matter but the Lord. Who else can help you? Then call on him. Talk to the Lord about everything that's in your heart. David told the Lord, here verse 6, he said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He told the Lord, he laid out his heart, I'm going through this depression. And that's what we ought to do. But in doing so, let's not make our prayers only asking for things, asking for help. Now, that need for help, that's on our heart. So we lay that our heart open before God. But let's remember that our prayers always should be prayers of praise and thanksgiving too. Because praise and thanksgiving is in the heart of a believer. Even in those dark days it is. Be men and women of prayer. Our spiritual depression is caused, the root of it is, we've lost the sense of the Savior's presence. Then call him. Call on him. He'll answer. He said he would. And we have a sense of his presence again. That spiritual depression will be gone. Now the sin and the circumstances that caused it probably won't change. But it'll be all right. Because we have a sense of his presence again. Sin ought to depress us, shouldn't it? We ought to hate it. But we have a sense of the Savior's presence. He put that sin away. He blotted it out with his blood. Paid for it with his blood. There's peace. There's peace in his blood. So call on the Lord. He will answer eventually. Keep calling. Don't just call once and quit. Say, well, Lord's cut me off. No, keep calling. Keep calling him. Call out to him in your thirst for Christ. He'll quench your thirst. He promised to give the water of life freely to everybody who's thirsty. Then call on him. Tell him how thirsty you are. Remind him of his promise. If you ever want to... My dad always said, if you ever want to argue with the Lord, I guess that's the right term. If you ever want to argue with the Lord, if you ever want to plead with the Lord, plead his promise. Lord, you promised. Call on him. He'll answer. You'll be all right. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you that you took time in your word to answer every need of your poor and needy children by showing us the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the answer to our every need. Father, cause us to get a sense of his love, to get a sense of his presence, to get a sense of the enormity of his sacrifice. That put away the sin of his people, that makes us accepted in your sight. Father, thank you for remembering that we're just but dust. You remember our frame. And Father, we cry out to you for forgiveness. We cry out to you for your presence. We cry out to you that you enable us to worship, that you enable us to pray, that you enable us to read the word, that you enable us to worship you, follow after you, live a life that's exemplary of your mercy and grace to your people. Father, help us, we pray. We thank you for your faithfulness. When we're so unfaithful, so unworthy, you're faithful. Thank you for your strength. When we're so weak, you're strong. Thank you for your wisdom. When we're in such ignorance, you know all things. Father, bless us. We say with the Apostle Peter, you know all things. You know we love you. Bless us for your great name's sake, we pray.